Hello and welcome to Flickrcast,
the podcast for the Flickr community. I'm Brian Campbell.
And I'm Jason Matthews. And this is episode 8. And real quick, this is just something that came up right before we were about to record. A follow-up on a story we covered last week, the whole Thomas Hawk ordeal. Dig just reported that the New York Post has picked up that story and has done some investigating on their own and tried to contact the people in charge. Unsurprisingly, they're not having much luck getting a hold of Ed Lopez. None of their calls or emails are being returned, but, you know, they're meeting with about the same success as anyone else would in contacting this place.
Yeah, I don't think they care if you're the New York Post or New York Times or the Pope or Elvis. So, Neil Gorman, he sent us an interesting link to a group called Comic Life, and I thought this was top-notch. This is awesome. And what it is, once again, we'll have a link to this in the show notes, but it's images or pictures that people submit, and they use a program called Comic Life, which is only available for Mac right now, but there is a forum dedicated for Windows users to beg for it to come out to Windows, so maybe it will. Anyways, what you can do is take any image or picture you've taken, and Comic Life lets you easily add talk bubbles, frames, and all kinds of styles that you would see in a comic book, you know, a superhero style with all the bright lettering and large fonts, and it's really nice. So
I like the way it looks.
Yeah, so people submit their photos that they edited with Comic Life, and a lot of them are humorous. Well, actually, I'd say 90% of them are humorous. I don't think you could really do any serious stuff with this, although someone made a Photoshop tutorial using the comic book style, using Comic Life, so that was pretty neat.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like what Neil was doing. He was taking stories from WarrenEllis.com. And I know you, Brian, have heard me talking about Warren Ellis a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Neil was taking stories from him and adapting them into comics form.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And
Those are not family stories, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have 44 members as of as we're recording this. So a lot of photos from those 44 members. So if you have a chance, check it out. And Plask, P-L-A-S-Q, is the company that makes this program called Comic Life. But I guess if you're skilled enough or creative enough, you could use GIMP or Photoshop to kind of emulate what they've done here.
Well, you could. I don't think it would be as easy. I mean, they've got, like, you know, all the templates and everything for the different styles of speech and thought bubbles and all that. But anyway, I'd play around with it if it was on Windows.
Yeah, like I mentioned last podcast, I'll be getting an Intel iBook or PowerBook, and then I'll test this program out and maybe give you guys a review in a future podcast. So in the meantime, check it out. And
right, and as we mentioned in the group, there's nothing I hate more in this world than a Macintosh.
Hate them.
Jason's being sarcastic.
We hates is the Macintosh.
Not we, you.
No, we hates is it, Precious.
Yeah. I heart Mac.
Yeah. But like I also said, the Apple fight is lame. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, this the Comic Life group brings up an interesting point that I wanted to segue into, and that's that technically what they're doing is against the Flickr terms of use, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's not... it's probably not considered a photo, even though they use photo elements. And this is actually, this can be a big controversy because technically, according to the terms of use, if you post one quote-unquote non-photo publicly,
right,
it's enough to, if the admins happen to see your stream, it's enough for them to mark it as NPSA, which means not in public site area, I think.
Okay. Well, let me just chime in real quick before we drop the Comic Life thing totally. And that's whenever we take pictures, most of us, we go and we post-process it. We adjust the contrast. We adjust the levels and the curves and all that stuff. comic life is an extreme version of post-processing, meaning if you were to take away those thought bubbles, there's still a picture taken with a digital camera there. So,
right, and that's where the gray area comes in, because what are they going to call a non-photo? Because some people have run afoul of that rule just for, something like, well, we haven't talked about this yet, but FD's Flickr Toys, which lets you mod some of your pictures. That's where you can create, like, the Flickr ID badge and frames, like the inspirational poster frames, stuff like that.
Right.
Some people have gotten in trouble for just those. But typically they say it's not going to... You're not going to get that that kind of punishment, I guess you would say, or banishment, for just having one there, even though you could, because they don't go to that level unless for some reason they're taking a close look at you, like you caused trouble somewhere else.
Right. And from what I've read about the whole NHTSA thing, you know, not safe in public areas, is that it's way too much work for Flickr or Yahoo employees to go through everyone's stream and make sure that everyone's obeying the terms of service. So they're basically relying on other users to report someone's picture is either offensive or not obeying the terms of service. But what bothers me is at least this person here, Brenda Dada, that's her name. But
I think it all runs together.
Yeah, Brenda Dada.
That's the way I've heard it on the other podcast.
But she basically says that she got in trouble for this, and instead of just marking one picture as NHTSA, her entire stream was
It wasn't. I just want to say it wasn't her. It was one of her friends.
Okay, one of her friends. Yeah. Instead of them just marking one picture as NHTSA, they marked her entire stream. So I think that's wrong. Because
it just depends. It's kind of arbitrary. And there again, how do you decide what's not a photo? I mean, if you let me think of a good example. If you Photoshop, if it's not a photo, if there's some other graphic elements in the photo,
right?
You know, like text or whatever. Then. Is it a photo if you take some picture elements from another photo and paste it into another one?
Sort of like someone makes a collage of...
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely a gray area stuff.
I mean, obviously, if it's something computer-generated, they would probably say that's not a photo.
Right.
To court this trouble myself, I have, you know, some of the logo artwork for our podcast on my stream.
Yeah, we have the Flickrcast logo on your stream, and that's definitely not a photo.
I took what I think is the precaution of, at least I think it'll help me. I mark them may offend myself, so that takes them out of the public searches,
right,
and stuff. So I've heard here and there, or read here and there, that can help you. Avoid having your whole stream disappeared.
Right. And someone says that when you're marked NHTSA, that you're still technically public, as in anyone can view your images. It's just that if someone does a search and one of your tags is that, they're not going to find you, which I don't like that.
It significantly decreases your visibility.
Right.
Unless you're participating a lot in groups or whatever.
It should be a picture by picture basis, and I think that marking may offend is totally different from NHTSA. You know, you have to differentiate between the two, because may offend is, you know, could be for some people.
Well, they
nudity
have the same effect.
Right.
Yeah, they have the same effect either way, but. Another thing is I've frequently, like, in the various groups, when there are, you know, if there's some kind of problem with someone's, with someone using Flickr, you know, they're seeing some bug or something.
Right.
They'll take a screenshot, put it in their stream, and then paste it to the group and then start talking about it there. Well, that's not a photo.
Yeah.
So do they get in trouble for that? I highly doubt it. And also, what about, what if you have a painting or something, or, and you go and take a photo of that, and you don't see the edges of it, so it's not, you know, obviously...
Right.
You can't obviously tell that it's a physical object. Is that not a photo, then?
And I've seen that, you know, people, instead of scanning their painting, which may not even be possible, they take a picture of it. Well, right. There's no reason, usually, to see the wall behind it or see whatever behind it, so they're going to crop out anything that's not the painting. Well, if they do a good job, you're not going to be able to tell. You know, some people may think, mm-hmm. Oh, this is just an image that isn't considered a picture.
Right. Or what if you put something on your scanner platen that's not, you know, a piece of paper or something? Say you put some 3D object on the scanner and scan that. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen anyone do that, and I don't think I've seen it on Flickr, but I remember people doing that before, a few months ago.
Right.
I saw that on some other site. But would you call that a photo or not? Because it was, I mean, I guess you could say it's technically a digital image taken with an optical system.
Yeah.
But not what you'd think of as a photo.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Flickr just needs to worry about what is actually offensive and what may be considered spam. Like, I didn't look at her friend's photo stream, but I guess they were saying...
I don't know if she even provided a link to it.
Yeah, I think she was saying that it was some type of flyer. Now, you know, a flyer could be promoting something which can be considered spam. So yeah. Maybe that's not such a good thing. But as far as paintings or VGA, which is, you know, artwork done solely with a computer, or mostly, mm-hmm. and things like that, it shouldn't be a problem.
I would, if I was going to define it, my initial reaction is to start and say, well, anything that's a still image should be fair game. But then again, I think about it, and you could get basically the equivalent of banner ads or logos for other websites or... things like that could just, you know, people could have a whole account just for doing that and
yeah,
use that as image hosting.
Oh, yeah, because it's...
So I imagine when they're reviewing someone's account for this, they probably take that into consideration as, you know, what their majority usage of the account is.
Right. And then...
But it does say in the terms of use that only one image is enough to have the whole stream nips it or blacklisted, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And I think they should change that. If they do or not, we'll see. I don't think they'll change anything.
I would not anticipate a change coming on that anytime soon.
But it does kind of scare me that, you know, some people with really good pictures are gonna, you know, there's gonna be nips marked on their stream because of one little mistake or one thing mm-hmm. that they didn't even consider would be violating the terms of service. So one thing that would definitely violate the terms of service, and that's not even available right now, but people have requested this feature, and I don't know why.
Again and again and again.
And that is adding video to your Flickr stream.
Nope. Please, God, no.
No. You know, it's one thing to have a still image of anything, mm-hmm. you know, that's closer to a picture, or, you know, this sounds ridiculous.
I think if I could guess at why I think people request that, I think as communities age, eventually people come in who don't get, who don't understand the original intent of the community,
mm-hmm.
and they want it to be everything to everyone.
Right. And once you're everything to everyone, then you lose your niche.
Yeah, you don't do anything well.
Right. So Flickr can't... if they added video and whatever else, they couldn't, what's the word, differentiate themselves from just some generic search engine that right. lists videos and images and all that other crap. So,
But there is a site that you can go to if you want something akin to the Flickr experience, but with video. It's called youtube.com. So if there's anyone listening who just cannot wait to have video on their Flickr stream, well, I hope you never get it, but you can head over to YouTube, and they're trying to be Flickr-ish. The layout is pretty similar.
Yeah,
they work well. I mean, as far as their layout.
Oh, yeah.
you upload the video, it converts to Flash, and then people view it from there. System, there's tags and everything. The system is very similar to Flickr.
Right. It supports...
Content, though, is... A lot of the content is just stupid.
Oh, yeah, well...
Or
It's a time waster site.
Yeah.
There's... And I just want to mention, you could upload 3 different video file types, and they're going to add more. But I actually really enjoy this site because... you know, there's a search engine and there's a tag system exactly like Flickr. So if you have something in mind that you want to see, then you could type it in, or you could view the top-rated videos that people have published and new videos and things like that. Well, one cool thing is just kind of randomly looking at videos, and you know, a lot of times, like you said, you'll find garbage, but I find some pretty funny stuff that, you know, would never be on iFilm because it's not professional. It's people that just either use their digital camera to take video, like mine does, actually. It takes video at 30 frames per second. Or they have, you know, a cheap...
I have one video on there that I did that with.
Yeah.
Just to kind of test it out when I first heard about
it. And a lot of people have those, you know, little handheld camcorders and stuff and just make some stupid little movie or, you know, just, you know, video of someone's dance recital or whatever that, you know.
Yeah.
But there's no limit on how many videos you could upload, but there is a limit on the megabytes, and they're limiting that to 100 for now. So if you got a really long video, you could split it up or just, you know, compress it more. So,
you know, it would be interesting. I wonder if there would be some way, I guess, well... What if Yahoo bought this service and made it like a sister site to Flickr? I don't know if that would really work without them overlapping.
Right.
But basically what I'm trying to say is if you want video, there's already a place for you, and Flickr is not it.
Right. It's a whole world of trouble to add that to Flickr, and it's not necessary. It doesn't make sense.
Well, and just think about how it would change the interface. I mean, you'd have to get... They'd have to go back to using Flash for the images. Which people hated when they were doing it originally. But in order to keep the interface the same, they'd have to use that because you'd have the video element in there.
Right.
And then all the tag search results would be different. You wouldn't... Well, it'd be hard to see what's a video and what's not.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you'd be searching for a tag, and then, mm-hmm. you know, you'd have to specify, oh, pictures only, or video only, or video and pictures. Right. So it's just another
step. Not to mention the bandwidth cost that it would incur.
Oh, yeah, it'd be ridiculous.
Right.
Oh, and that's another good thing about YouTube, by the way, is it's totally free, at least now. So go there and sign up. And oh, and I found 3 interesting videos. I put interesting in quotation marks there, of silly little things that people did, and we'll have those in the show notes. One of them is Pabst Blue Ninja and Converse Shoe Man or Shoe Hands Man. But that's about the quality.
They're all pretty surreal. Yeah,
quality of stuff you'll find on YouTube, just really bizarre non sequitur type videos, which I kind of like. So,
yeah, but is this what you want to see Flickr become?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen,
definitely
I
not.
Ask you, I think not.
Yeah.
But moving on. Okay, next thing, well, there's not much to see on this topic yet anymore. This was something that caused a minor dust-up in Flickr Central earlier in the week. It's a site that remains somewhat mysterious as to what its purpose was.
Right.
That would be flickle.com, like Flickr, but L-E on the end instead of the R.
Right.
If you go there, what you're going to see is tons and tons and tons of broken image links and then a list of tags down the side. What you would have seen a week ago if you went there would have been tons and tons and tons of unrelated images that were being that were basically stolen from Flickr with no proper attribution. So it was one big, huge copyright / Creative Commons violation. And also there's... links at the top for clusters and people and most popular and whatever. Basically, the reason it's mysterious is, let's say you go to people and you put in somebody's name, your own, for instance.
Right.
Completely unrelated things come up. Pictures you didn't take from people you have no idea who they are.
You know what I think? I think their search engine was actually broken, and what came up was something random or in some way related to the keyword, which we can't figure out yet.
Well, that's possible, but if it is, they went to a lot of trouble to make the rest of the site wall overlooking that. So the reason you see the broken images is that the Flickr staff stepped in and killed their API key. So now they're not allowed to steal images anymore, because why I say stealing is they had these images up, and they were they would include the name of the person that took it, but they would not link back to either Flickr or that person's photo stream.
Oh, yeah.
So that is a violation of copyright, and it also is not proper attribution under the Creative Commons license.
Yeah, it's kind of shady. You could check out the site for yourself, but once again, you won't see any actual pictures or images come up any longer. So
they did a Who Is on it, and that turned up... it was registered by someone in Malaysia through GoDaddy.com at the end of September. And I don't know if they ever sorted it out, what this guy was going for. Or
right. We may never find
why
out.
Why he registered. Probably not, unless he steps up and says something.
Yeah. Okay, well, finally, we have some camera news. And this is a really big deal, actually. There's been a breakthrough in a chip. Oh, God.
What he's trying to say is a breakthrough in sensor design. It's just in the prototype stage right now.
That's right. Theoretically, they're saying that you could slash power consumption by not 50%, but times 50 of the current CMOS sensors.
Right. CMOSes are typically used in cell phone cameras, but also... they're used in Canon digital SLRs.
Right.
Now, there are some implications on this if it delivers on the promises. Okay, they promise the lower power consumption, but also 10 times the dynamic range
That's awesome.
Of existing sensors.
That is awesome.
You'd think it's awesome at first, but then you have to consider that today's monitors would not be able to display that, and today's file formats would not be able to hold that. So you have to upgrade both of those if you start going with more dynamic range.
I'm not sure about that necessarily, because it's like if you were to watch higher resolution video on a monitor, it just downscales it. So.
Well, yeah, I know, but file formats can't hold that dynamic range. So basically what it would give you is more processing latitude in a raw file, but not necessarily... Like, you couldn't just take a photo in JPEG and see all that benefit from it.
Right. Well, what they're using it for right now, and they've actually done tests on this, and it shows, and what I meant to say is for video cameras, like security cameras and things like that that use up a lot of power. They're thinking they can make security cameras the size of, you know, a button that could run for several years on one battery. For instance, they said... this camera they tested runs at a rate of 30 frames per second, and it uses 0.88 nanowatts per pixel, which is 50 times less than the industry's previous best. So that's a lot.
So they're not gearing it toward like still photography then.
They are, but not yet. They're primarily concerned with wireless security cameras right now, but.
I think it'll be sometime down the line before we actually see this, but if it ended up meaning that I could get a full-frame SLR with high megapixels, low power consumption with a battery that lasts for months between charges, and a lot more dynamic range, I would want that yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, one more application that I was thinking of.
Okay.
For long exposures, if it's using less power, I'm going to assume it's generating less heat.
Mm-hmm.
And that means far less noise for long exposures.
Oh.
So big boon for astral photography.
That's true. That would be great.
Possibly.
And possibly for...
This is all very tentative.
Possibly for smaller cameras, too.
Right, yeah.
Kind of like that 10 megapixel chip that Sharp's working on. I'm sure you know, that's going to have no benefit now, but maybe one day they'll be able to pull that off without so much noise in the in the image. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think this is probably still a few years away. But anyway, if the promises are born out there, that'll be good times ahead for sensor technology.
So for all the stories we've talked about today, we'll have a link on our website, which is at flickercast.com. Or you can contact us, and our email is flickercast@gmail.com. Or you could leave comments on our website. Also, we have a Frapper map, which we've had a lot of people leave their little...
Yeah, a lot of people lately. I'm surprised how many people are in other parts of the world. I'm going to have to start, you know, I won't be able to say feet, inches, pounds, anything like that, because then... There's all these people overseas who are like, well, he's not using the metric system. What's
miles per hour? What's that? Kilometers is is the real deal. Mm-hmm. No, but, so yeah.
I like that, though. I like seeing all these people from everywhere. And I'm waiting until we get that that one scientist or whatever in Antarctica who's listening to us, puts his little name on the Frapper map. I can't wait.
Now, just because you said that, someone's going to make up that they're living in Antarctica, but that's cool.
I'll ask for verification.
Yeah. But also, we have a Flickercast group with a lot of participation, and you could submit whatever photos you're proud of to our group, and tell if you like our podcast, you could tell a friend and they can tell a friend, etc. Or you could vote for us at podcastalley.com, blah blah blah. There's going to be a link for all this stuff on our website, so very cool stuff.
Okay, and what's our music this week? This is something you dug up out of the distant past of internet.
Oh, that's right. Back in the days of BBS's, bulletin board systems, before we had pretty web browsers.
You kids out there may not remember the BBS. Yeah.
I had, and this was true, I had a 14.4 baud modem that I used.
Whatever, Junior. I was kicking it with a 1200 baud in 1988.
Yeah, and my buddy was doing 300 baud on his Commodore 64, which is pretty hardcore. But
wow, did he have the acoustic coupler?
Probably. But anyways, this is something I found on a CD, and I've been kind of listening to, very nostalgic sounding. It's actually a .s3m file that I converted to WAV, and then we're going to throw in the podcast here. But it's called A Touch of Spring, and it's by Purple Motion. So for those of you who were big into the BBS days, you may kind of recognize this type of sound. I wanted to go for something really different from what we've had in the past 7 podcasts or so.
Yeah. This type of music was really big when I was a kid.
That's right. Let's take pictures of...
You sit around the gramophone.
Let's take pictures of ponies. Yeah.
With an 8x10 view camera on a wooden tripod.
Yeah.
You need a team of pack mules and 50 assistants to carry it around.
Okay, so... thanks for listening. I'm Brian Campbell.
And I'm Jason Matthews.
We'll see you next week. Go out there, take some pictures.
In the cold and the snow.
Yes.
Bye.
With wet socks. Bye.
Right. Bye.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.